is episode, hold on, 11B, is it?
Probably, something silly like that. It's the email episode, emails.
The email special, the fortnightly episode where we do a breakdown of all the amazing listener correspondence that we get on Twitter and via email. We're so connected technologically, Phil.
It's like we're on the money.
It was so on the money. And, you know, for all those of you out there still using pigeon carrier mail, don't worry, we're going to have a pigeon pit stop installed quite soon at Super Bailey HQ.
Yeah, yeah, you can. What you need to do is make sure that you put in the address label, Super Bailey's HQ. I'm running out of steam.
You know, you saw them install it, Phil.
Yeah, okay. There was a guy called Gary.
Yeah, it was Gary the pigeon man. And yeah, what a good job we did too. Thanks, Gary.
He's now following us on Twitter, so.
Well, of course, yeah. Keep an eye out for Gary. Now, Phil, there's something special I want to bring up at this point.
Okay. Do we need a drum roll?
A drum roll. Okay. I was reading the entrance requirements for the Festival de Cannes, Phil. Also known as the Cannes Film Festival or the Cannes Film Festival.
Do you say it with the S or no?
No, I believe it's Cannes, isn't it?
Cannes.
Yeah, it's a place. And I was trying to figure out if there's any way the Super Bailey Bros can get their themselves over there to, you know, annoy people, try and get some interviews, try and cover some up-and-coming films. Because, you know, the Cannes Film Festival is really exciting. It's probably the premier event for new movies around the world.
What, they give out the Palme d'Or?
Yeah,
like
all that kind of stuff. And they trailer these films. You know, you hear great stories from there. But typically, you tend to hear about it through very official channels and people who are real culturites. Mm. And I would say, Phil, that you and I are not exactly culturites.
We could be the everyman.
Well, exactly. I wonder whether people would be interested in a Super Bailey Bros take on the Cannes Film Festival. We know, it'd be interesting to know what you guys want to hear about the Cannes Film Festival and therefore what we can bring to our listeners. But here's the thing. The entrance requirements are quite specific and they only really want big fish attending. And Phil, you know, we're not a small fish, we're not a minnow, but we're not exactly, what's a big fish?
A tuna.
Okay, we're not exactly a tuna at this point. What I thought we might try is something like a Kickstarter-y
campaign-y thingy.
Yeah, and probably titled, Yes We Can.
Yes We Can.
Spelt, importantly, Y-E-S. O-U-I-C-A-N-N-E-S, which when translated from the specific language Franglais is...
Yes, yes, can.
Yes, yes, can. Well, I really want to know what you guys think about it. You know, we haven't launched that yet. It's just an idea I had. And there's a part of me that thinks it sounds a little bit crazy, but sometimes a bit crazy, a bit spontaneous, a bit fun is the kind of thing that takes off. And maybe we wouldn't ask people to give us any money for that because why would you do that? But if we had enough people who say... Yes, I'm going to listen to that. I'll listen to the Bailey Bros. Yes, We Can podcasts. Then you can take that to the Can guys and say, look, we've got all these people who want to hear what the Bailey Bros have to say.
We're important people. We should be on your red carpet.
But we're not the important people. It's the listeners that we bring with us. They're the people
exactly.
Who are important. You can get your films into the ears of these listeners who just want to know what an average person makes of all this fancy culture stuff.
That sounds exciting, Laurie.
Do you think so? I think...
Yeah, I like the idea of yes, yes, cans.
And we'll drop it if it just doesn't work at all. But I really want to know, listeners, get in touch. Tell us what you think. Do you think we should try it?
Yeah, let us know if that's something you'd be interested in.
It'd be so much fun. And like I say, if we figure out some way to do it, so you pledge, I don't know, 1p, because I think you have to do money on Kickstarter, but you pledge 1p to say you're going to listen. And if you, let's say you pledge 5p, we can give you a question, like a question spot or something like that.
That'd be interesting. Like, so we'll
if you pledge 5p,
question.
But when we say 5p, you pledge that you'll get 5 of your mates to listen. Then maybe we'll let you give us a question that we'll try and ask. You know, we'll shove the Bailey Bros microphone right in Leo's face and say, Leo, they want to know why you abandoned your curtains haircut. You know, that kind of
what
thing.
What happened?
Oh, but obviously a bit more respectful than that, because we genuinely love movies and we do want to talk about movies, not haircuts. I just want to be really clear. Please don't send that kind of question in.
Well, unless you really want to. If you pay the money, we're at your mercy.
Yeah, maybe I need to rethink that part of it. But yeah, so that's Yes We Can or...
Yes, yes, can.
Get in touch, tell us what you think. And if it looks good, then get ready for the greatest experience of your life.
SBB does cans.
Okay, yeah, all right, moving on. Let's do some emails. Are you going to start, Phil? Are you going to start, Phil?
Yeah, I've got an email from Nicholas. Thanks for emailing in, Nicholas. It says, Hi, Phil and Laurie. I heard about you from a friend. I finally caught up on all your podcasts. I've been really enjoying them. After 11 weeks, I feel I know more about David Samuel than you guys.
David Samuel, yeah, of course.
The other star of the Super Bailey Bros.
What a star he is. I'm sorry that we weren't able to feature him last week. I don't know whether we've got an email for him this week. Let's wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
No mistake.
he says, could you tell us more about what you did regarding movie discussions before doing podcasts? What did we do?
In my case, I tended to annoy my wife a lot with all my opinions, and she very graciously would listen.
I seem to get into arguments a lot with friends about movies, and now I just get into arguments with you.
Yeah, so you can see, great guys. You would have chatted to us and you would have been bored to tears by our endless movie
chat. But now that we're packaged in a nice slick thing with music and stuff like that, somehow it becomes all a bit more legitimate.
The jingles make a difference, man, I guarantee.
Now we're officially, we have some authority to say something about movies.
Yeah, more or less. Wait, did he say anything else?
Yeah, he carries on. He says, also, I love the section on hushing people at the cinema.
Mm.
My wife and I experienced almost a traumatic shushing assault when starting Star Wars. Another one who got shushed during Star Wars.
Right. It's a high octane film. I'm not surprised. Emotions run high.
Anyway, he says that he got shushed by another couple a few minutes into the movie. Didn't proud wife, the email before, didn't her husband shush somebody?
You don't think we found the other half of that altercation?
Maybe we did, Larry.
Oh, dear.
What's happened?
Oh dear. Like, I hope, okay, for your sake, guys, I hope it wasn't. Although, having said that, maybe our podcast can be like a beautiful intermediary between two struggling parties, and this could be the route through which they heal, Phil.
It's like the Jerry Springer of shushing in cinema.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Well, look, guys, tell us which cinema it was, and we could have a beautiful moment on our hands.
He was convinced he was discreet, though, but he did stay muted for the rest of it. It was Star Wars, wasn't it?
Yeah, like I said in that one last week, I would have shushed someone, because if it was the first time I'd been there, you just got to watch that one in all the right situations. You need to be able to see that crawl go away from you in the silence and the stillness of space, which is a vacuum, which means not even any breathing.
Anyway, he says, he finishes off, next week, Zoolander or Deadpool, ?
Maybe both.
I'd like to. I think you're less keen on Deadpool, though, aren't you?
Well, I don't want to go too much into that here, because I think some of that might fit into a movie hate that I've been building up.
Okay.
As a teaser, I resent the way that they've publicized it, because they're telling you how you should react.
Mm.
And they're sort of patronizing their own audience, and I'm not a fan of that, Phil.
Laurie will never be patronized.
No, I am not a fan of that at all. But yeah, Zoolander, I'm up for seeing. I know that it's been sort of slightly controversial already, and you, Phil, have expressed doubt that comedy sequels can ever be good.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm worried it's going to repeat all the same jokes. I'd be delighted, in fact, to be proved wrong with Zoolander. Is it Zoolander number two or Zoolander?
I thought it was Zoolander with a two and two O's as a sort of funny joke.
Two.
Or you said, wasn't it Zoolander number two, like Chanel number five?
I think that's what they're going with. They got even the same like font and everything like
Do boots have number seven? So it's like, it's
that's
serious.
What is that? That's a cream product, isn't it?
Isn't
number
the same
seven?
Thing? No, let's not go down this road.
We clearly know nothing.
We keep doing this. I've got no idea.
Anyway, finally finishes it off. P.S. Next time David Samuel sends a photo, could you describe it? I'm always picturing cute photos of owls at best.
Well, look, when the next time David sends in a picture, we'll do our level best. But I apologise in advance if it, you know, slips our mind.
Yeah, there's just so much stuff we've got going on.
There's
at the
such
moment.
Extraordinary photos as well. Sometimes my brain is kind of shocked into silence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, all you can say is thank you.
That's all right. Yeah, that's just it. That's all that's appropriate because of the majesty of what's before you.
Just thank you.
Yeah, just thank you. Can I say at this point, Phil, that I'd like to apologise to our listeners because my throat has been acting up. So if I sound unusually husky and like a really handsome country singer...
He's not, definitely
oh,
not.
No, come on. You can imagine... No, I was going to say, feel free to imagine that this week. Yeah,
you'd be an idiot, but feel free.
Okay, and I have got a couple of tweets here. We're glad that Twitter's kind of picking up steam.
Yeah, like, it's nice having little emails. It's tiny emails.
Esther has tweeted us to say, at Super Bailey Bros, now keen to see Chinatown.
Oh, good.
Old film, I believe, stands the test of time. Is Some Like It Hot? Have you seen it? So she's talking about our Chinatown segment last week where we said, go watch Jack Nicholson as J.J. Giddies solving a bizarre crime in 1940s L.A. or whenever it was. What about Some Like It Hot? Have you seen that?
I have seen it. It was a long time ago that I saw it. So
Jack Lemmon and Nicholas Curtis. Not Nicholas Curtis. Richard Curtis.
No, Richard Curtis
good
is
old
the...
Nicky Curtis, yeah.
No, Richard Curtis is the writer of Four Weddings and a Funeral.
No, what's his name? He is someone Curtis.
What about Jamie Lee Curtis?
No, Jamie. No, it's Tony Curtis.
Tony, that rings a bell.
All these Curtises, there's too many of them. Yeah, I have seen it. And Marilyn Monroe, yeah. It's really a stylish, classy film. I think really famous for the way that it sort of challenged, well, I guess for the time that it was done, it challenged stereotypes, it challenged gender roles. It's very funny, but also quite touching. We could do that. I think you already know that we both kind of like the film, though, so that slightly spoils the point of cheese and wine.
It's a whiny cheese already. Actually, we've got another email, which is about cheese and wine as well. It's from The Natural.
Okay.
He writes, Dear Super Bailey Bros, thanks for giving me the push to finally see Chinatown. I can't compare it with a previous viewing, but the first time around, I would say it's classy, but dark red wine.
Dark red wine.
Dark red wine.
It definitely has some sort of swirling, mysterious darkness to it. I agree with that, Natural, yeah.
He says, the script was sparse, but so brilliantly delivered, I even laughed out loud once or twice just because it was so sharp.
Yeah, that's true.
And all the casting was good, but Jack Nicholson is superb, believable all the way through, with a real sense of being weighed down by the hard lessons of his past.
Ooh, well, if this isn't making you guys want to rush out and see it, then what is wrong with you?
He was intrigued and gripped, but it is a grim story. He reckons it probably influenced L.A. Confidential and had the same vibe as The Big Sleep 2. I haven't seen The Big Sleep.
No.
I've seen L.A. Confidential, and I'm not surprised by that comparison.
You can see the similarity, yeah?
Yeah, there's a good comparison there. Anyway, he signs off his email. Thanks for that email. The Natural, he goes, there goes The Natural, the best there ever was.
This is, if we know what this film is because our dad made us watch it and always goes on about wanting to see it. It's Robert Redford playing an aged baseball player who has some kind of mysterious injury that kept him from reaching the big time. It's a good film.
Yeah, and that was a line from the film, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Well done, Phil. We teased it earlier, Phil. We have an email from David Samuel.
Hooray!
David's back. He says, dear Bailey Buds, I have been enjoying the new format of things, including cheese or wine. What a course!
Oh, brilliant. Yes.
Good choice of film, too. I've got many suggestions for future samplings, although he doesn't give a single one. So,
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. He says, I've also enjoyed the discussions over what regular listeners should be called. I'm with Phil on bros, to be honest.
Is he? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He says he uses it unilaterally. Literally, friends, strangers, ladies, gents, owls, and accursed pigeons. That's not very nice. Ta-ta for now, David Samuel, plus picture, he says.
Oh, great. Well, I agree. I think that's what I meant.
Maybe something about it doesn't sit well with me.
Well, it sits well with me.
David, thank you very much for getting back in touch. You've got at least one serious fan. I'll be glad to hear from you. And thank you for the picture.
We've also got an email from Rodney. He writes about Daddy's Home. He was really let down by this. Tried far too hard at times to be funny, but it just wasn't. One of the worst Will Ferrell movies I've seen. You weren't massive fans, too.
No, it was lightweight. What I think it wasn't was super offensive, which I have found to be the case in some of Will Ferrell's other films. So it's lightweight. You can let it wash over you, but you're not going to remember anything about it at all.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I also need to bring up the new Point Break.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know if I can get over the old one with Keanu Reeves.
Johnny Utah.
Yeah, it's the one where he's investigating like an extreme sports criminals.
It must be one of the best premises of all time. You can just imagine the guys who accept the scripts or the treatments.
Green
or whatever.
Light it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they hear this thing about, oh, it's a criminal gang who use their extreme sports skills to commit crime. What is not to love?
Yeah, so they're making another one, though, and I've seen the trailer. I'm not convinced at all, are you?
It looks like it's been slightly diluted, you know, orange squash that doesn't taste like orange anymore. You know, that kind of movie released when it was 90s, wasn't it?
It was very 90s,
yeah. You know, that was all about the passion of these guys and trying to live for your dreams and do everything to the max. And
being a free spirit. And
yeah,
all.
Today people are slightly more moderated and it's more about a holistic sense of wellness than hitting those highs.
Being personally happy, that's the high of life, really.
Yeah,
isn't it?
So it's slightly coming in at the wrong time, I think.
But anyway, he carries on. He loved the original. He doesn't want to see the new one, kind of a bit like Total Recall. Remember, there's Arnold Schwarzenegger's version.
That film is ridiculous. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I've just heard of it. He kind of imagines he's on Mars or something.
No. It's not that. Total Recall is absolutely bizarre. It basically comes to believe that he's being watched. It's kind of like a post-apocalyptic future where there's a lot of injustice and difficulty. 1984 land, you know, Brazil, a bit like that stuff. But to be honest, I think most people remember Total Recall for the scene where Arnold Schwarzenegger's head expands like a plasticine balloon. So
right, okay.
That's the most famous thing. Like anyone who's seen it will know exactly what I'm talking about.
But I am right. There is some sort of space element to it, is there?
Yes and no. They are on Mars at one point, yeah.
Okay, good. I wasn't going crazy.
It's science fiction, yeah.
Yeah, well, so they remade that one with, I think, Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell? No,
yeah.
I don't believe you.
You're going to Google it right now.
I am going to Google it right now, Phil.
Listen to the keyboard taps.
It's always so professional. They do this on other radio shows. I'm sure I've heard it happen. Hold on. Loading. Stars Colin Farrell. I don't believe it. And Bryan Cranston.
There you go, believe it.
Man, I can't believe that was any good at all.
He wasn't, I don't think, too keen on it. This is Rodney carrying on. Basically, he says he hates remakes.
Well, it's good that you say that, Rodney, because one of the things that we got Russ Thompson, the scriptwriter we had last week, hope you guys enjoyed hearing him. One of the things that we recorded with him and will come up on an episode soon is remakes, reboots. We've done a whole thing about it. We feel quite strongly about it.
Yeah, that whole thing of why would you reboot something that people have already seen?
Can it ever be a good thing? What goes into it? Why do they do it? Yeah, it's an interesting topic.
So watch out for that one.
Oh, yes.
Finally, he wraps it up with just crying and he says, I know this isn't a sad movie, But Wreck-It Ralph, when he's falling through the sky to save his friend, and when he is saying that he isn't a bad guy, it brings tears to his eyes every time. He's tearing up writing this right now.
Oh, Rodney.
That's what he says.
there's a lot of compassion in that movie. You know, I didn't think it was the best film. I thought it missold everybody its premise, and it wasn't really about all these video game characters having fun. It was more about Ralph in that candy racing land or whatever it was.
Yeah, something like that.
But they do that relationship thing well. Was that a Pixar film?
No, that was like Disney's own shop.
That was getting Pixar writer. That's more what I expect Pixar to do.
Yeah, it's funny though which films hit you. I mean, sometimes out of the blue, it just hits some sort of heartstring.
Yeah, it can hit you by surprise. It's very embarrassing, especially if you're on a date or there with your lads.
lads. And that's Rodney. There you go.
Cheers. Thanks, Rod. I've got one here. It says, hello, SBB. I recently listened to your Matrix rewrite and... sorry, Phil/Sam, I found myself mostly agreeing with guess who?
I'm going to say you, but before you even get the chance to say anything, I feel like you, when you do your little rewrites, you don't stick to the rules.
What are you talking about? What rules are there?
So rewriting it, I mean, I always go in with the intention of trying to fix a bad film or a film that hasn't quite worked. What can leave it as mostly intact, but just slight changes? You're like, no, rip the page out, start from square one.
If you can do it, Phil, do it. I mean, if all you're capable of is little script changes, then fine. But if you've got a brain like yours truly. But anyway, he says he thought my rewrite was excellent. Maybe someday they'll give you a call, Laurie? What do you say to that?
I'll give it to you. I mean, I like the idea of your movie of The Matrix 2.
If you haven't heard it, then listen back. It was episode 8 or something like that. We all talked about it. We started with The Matrix Reloaded, but it expanded into Matrix Revolutions as well. And the basis of it was Phil thought, just rewrite a couple of scenes, basically. Boring. And I thought what you needed to do was essentially rewrite the whole premise of the sequels. Take it a different direction.
Well, maybe one day you will get that call, Laurie.
Maybe... what's that?
That is my mocking laugh.
If I ever do get a call, how are you going to feel? That's all I got to say to that.
I'd probably ask if I could join.
No, you'd be barred from the project. Absolutely. Fine, that was from Charlie. Thanks, Charlie.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. I've got an email from Sierra here. We'll move on. Listened to one of your shows the other day and enjoyed the section on actors eating during dialogue. Nom, nom, nom.
I'm actually drinking while Phil's talking here. So it's an example, yes.
I was surprised that you didn't mention the famous burger eating scene in Pulp Fiction. This is a tasty burger.
Yeah. To be fair, we did talk about Quentin Tarantino as a master and a big fan of that.
He loves the food, doesn't he? He really loves the food. So, I mean, there's so many different examples you can choose of.
Well, to be honest, Phil, we saw Spotlight today, which we're not going to go into any detail about in this podcast. Sorry, fans.
Wait next week.
But there's a prominent scene in that where Mark Ruffalo is chowing down on some rice while he's chatting away.
I don't remember that one.
I do. I remember seeing a rice fall out of his mouth. Disgusting.
Anyway, he's also surprised at the fact that we were surprised that eating an apple is cool. There is something extremely casual about biting chunks out of a tasty, sweet Braeburn.
I had to admit, I believed it when you said it. And J.J. Abrahams is the guy who picked it out, right? So he knows what he's doing. It did make sense to me. I can imagine how sort of cocksure and relaxed.
He says, Sierra says, it says, I'm so relaxed and in control that I can talk and eat at the same time.
I've not mastered that. No, not by any means.
You're very polite, Laurie.
Yeah, either that or just, as I've said before, a complete failure in the world of multitasking.
He reckons the opposite of an apple, though, is eating a Cornish pasty. There is a point about halfway through where pieces of potato and swede start spilling onto your shirt. Hot potato.
How? I don't know. That's not something I've ever seen in a film.
No, exactly. But the opposite one.
He must have tried this himself.
If you were trying to look ridiculous, eat a Cornish pasty.
And the potato. Can't... Yeah, also with a Cornish pasty, what tends to happen is you chow down pretty happily on the edges. And then once you bite into the middle the first time, you do the self-fan action.
Yeah, what you want is Leonardo DiCaprio getting out of a lake, breathing onto your food.
That would do it. Ice chills. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that. Yeah, we're in agreement, I think.
Let us know if you've got any other food-related emotions.
They're our absolute favourite. Good work. Okay, I've got another one here from King Cooper.
King Cooper.
He says, morning. Talking about people asking questions so they aren't surprised with what comes in the movie house, I have a friend who didn't want to be let down by Star Wars, so they read the whole plot of the movie.
No.
I know. Ugh. So they wouldn't get shocked or disappointed by what happens to the characters she loved from the originals. But you see, this is what I said. I can understand that way of thinking.
I do not understand that.
That just means they're so passionate. They're just nervous.
I'm just sad. That movie shouldn't be spoiled.
No. He goes on. He says, I really don't understand her thought process, as I avoided everything just so I could be shocked by it all. In fact, he watched 10 seconds of the trailer and that was too much for him.
Who's emailing?
This is from King Cooper.
King Cooper, I agree with King Cooper there.
No, me too. I particularly avoided the trailers because I wanted to enjoy it all firsthand without getting that whole spoilerific buzz thing going on.
Yeah, no, you want to just experience the emotion in its raw form.
It's very true. I mean, I think we've said it already. We've got to stop doing all these teases because we keep teasing and then it goes on teasing because we never actually deliver on what we tease.
We are delivering. We're delivering today.
Well, but we might not do the trailer thing today.
No, we're not going to do the trailer thing today.
But King Cooper, we've got a lot to say on trailers. Look forward to it. That's going to be a good one. It's going to be funny. It's going to be like audio bits in there. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be really great.
Really great. Yeah. Okay, any more?
No, I'm out.
All right, well, that's all the emails we got today then. But we do have an extra thing to do. What are we doing this time?
We are doing Creed.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we'll do a couple of movie reviews here. Is that right? Creed, you're going to do Creed.
You're doing Youth.
I'm going to do Youth. Yeah, the Paolo Sorrentino movie with Michael Caine in it.
I feel like we need a jingle here or something.
Okay, fair enough. Here's a little jingle and then on with the reviews.
Cool.
You go first, man.
Should I go first? Are you sure?
Yeah. Tell us about Creed.
So Creed is the sixth or seventh film in the sort of Rocky universe. I'd never seen a Rocky film, so this is my first experience of it. It's basically following Adonis Creed, who is the son of Rocky.
Apollo Creed.
Rocky's rival. Adonis Creed, known as Donnie in the movie, so he's not called Adonis way.
Good one.
Good touch there. It's following him trying to sort of take on the moniker of Creed and sort of
live up to the name, Titanic name in the world of boxing.
Exactly, and maybe Rocky will help him on the way. Are we going to do clips or anything?
Yeah, we'll play one here.
No, I don't even know what I'm doing here because I got other plans in my life and this wasn't part of it. Your father was special. To tell you the truth, I don't know if he's special. Only you're going to know that when the time is right. And it ain't going to come overnight. You're going to take a beat, you're going to take this, you're going to get knocked out, you're going to get up. And you're gonna see if you got the right thing. But you gotta work hard. I swear to God, if you're not gonna do it, I'm out.
Like every punch I ever thrown has been on my own. Nobody showed me how to do this. I'm ready.
I like this film. I was a little bit disappointed by this film. I was a bit everything about this film.
It's not very helpful when you're trying to sort of tell the listeners what to think, Phil.
Well, so I'm a big fan of Michael B. Jordan, who plays Adonis Creed. I think he's a talented actor.
What's he been in before?
You might have recognised him from Chronicle. He was also Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he also was in a movie called Fruitvale Station. Actually, probably mostly well-known to people, fans of the show Friday Night Lights. He was a quarterback in one of the later seasons.
That's the seriously emotional high school football drama.
The really, really good high school football drama.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
You haven't seen it. How do you know?
We don't talk TV. Keep moving.
Anyway, so he was in it, and I'm a big fan of him. I think he's a talented actor. Obviously, Sylvester Stallone is in it. The film started out with a very serious tone, a quite somber tone. And sort of as the film progressed, I was thinking, this is quite serious. And I was waiting for it to kind of tally up with the Rocky film, because from what I've gathered from sort of other people talking about Rocky and all the sort of clips I've seen, Rocky's quite sort of almost a guy movie, sort of a bit silly and punchy.
I'm so wrong about that. Like, I still don't understand how you have this view of the film, having never seen it.
Okay, well, it's just...
Rocky is an exceptionally compassionate portrait of a slice of social context, Phil.
Okay, well, all I've heard is the sort of the punchy montage-y stuff. And so the first half of the film, I was sort of like, oh, I'm wondering how this is going to tally up. Michael B. Jordan is a good enough actor that I thought was expecting him to kind of rise as the film went on and be sort of an acting heavyweight, not a boxing heavyweight, heavyweight, and bring out some big hitters. But surprisingly, it all sort of flipped over by the second half of the movie. The film sort of, as it got closer and closer to kind of the big fights that pop up in a boxing match It suddenly switched and became a bit sort of a cheesy, fun homage to Rocky and everything like that. There's the Eye of the Tiger theme rises at one moment. Yeah, and it's like this big crescendo moment, and it's like the music starts playing and it becomes a bit silly and everyone's getting punched in the face.
Are you saying they trod the dark path of the kind of nostalgia thing?
Sort of, yeah. It was a bit bizarre because it kind of, as the movie was going on, the sort of serious tone that it was trying to present fell away. And underneath it was just like, yeah, we're Rocky. We're doing Rocky again.
I love that.
Exactly.
Song.
And then all these montages start coming out of him training. And when that happened, I was really enjoying it. I was like, this is so much fun. I don't think Michael B. Jordan is actually given a lot to do. I think it's quite a light performance from him.
Featherweight, you might say.
Exactly. But he is a heavyweight actor. I think he's got some real acting chops.
Well, is this presumably his first major leading role?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Because the focus of the movie.
Yeah, he is the focus of the movie, and he's a likable lead, and he does a serviceable job. I just don't think the script has got much weight to his character.
And you think, but this could be a stepping stone to better things.
Oh, definitely. I think he deserves it.
Okay.
What I will say is Sylvester Stallone is great in it. He's really pulled back and sort of subtle in his performance.
Oscar nominated.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I agree with that, but I do think he's does a really good job.
I'm going to say passionately again for now the third time on the podcast, you've got to watch Rocky.
I will watch it, I think.
He's so good in that film. All the macho boxing and the poise. And, you know, there's a famous scene where he goes down to a meat locker and beats up like a raw hide of beef, basically. And there's all that kind of stuff. You think, whoa, how much more macho can this get?
Uh-huh.
But that is all in the context of the society that he lives in. And it's just beautiful, really.
I will watch Rocky now.
I'm sorry, did I come off a bit strong?
No, it's fine.
I'm being passionate for you, Phil.
I enjoyed the film. I would give it probably a B.
A B.
A solid B. I was expecting more, in all honesty. I think a lot of people have said to me, oh, it's really good, check it out.
In particular, what more were you looking for?
I think a bit more weight to the character of Adonis Creed.
Okay.
Because I think Sylvester Stallone had that in the script, and the story is quite a nice one. There is a really funny, weird part for English viewers, I think. The big rival to Adonis Creed is a guy from Liverpool. And
Scouse time.
and it was hard to take him seriously, basically, because it's like he's wearing an Everton shirt.
That's
like,
amazing. Did you get a cameo from Phil Neville?
I don't know, but it was just that was a bit weird. And maybe I think to an international audience that maybe wouldn't have been so comical.
That is interesting. And you reckon he probably won't get the Oscar for it? Sylvester Stallone, supporting actor.
Stranger things have happened.
Okay, good one. Done?
Yes, I think I'm done.
Great. Well, why don't I introduce my review with a clip?
Come look. Now listen, do you see that mountain over there?
Yeah, it seems really close.
Exactly. This is what you see when you're young. Everything seems really close. That's the future. And now... And that's what you see when you're old. Everything seems really far away. That's the past.
I went to see Youth, which is Michael Caine playing an aged and retired conductor and composer, and he spends time at a Swiss spa kind of restoring his spirit and just enjoying the peace. He's been coming for many, many years, and he's come again in the twilight of his life. His daughter is there. He's great friends with a film director played by Harvey Keitel, played brilliantly by Harvey Keitel, actually, who is in a similar age to him, directing his last film. And there's lots of discussions about what it means to be old, to look back on your life and weigh it up. Has it been a success? Has it been a failure? Did I do too much of this? Did I do too little of that? What's life all really about? And amazingly well supported by a whole bunch of young actors that I didn't anticipate seeing in the film, including Paul Dano or Dano, however you pronounce his name.
The slightly odd looking guy who's a talented actor.
He is so talented. I thought he nearly made this film, not necessarily because his performance was that magnetic or anything, but he was such a counterpoint to all the other characters in the film. And he just has natural chemistry with everybody. I don't really know how he achieved it. He also was the owner of the biggest laugh I had in the film, which I can't even remotely describe without giving it away. It's an interesting film. So it's done by Paolo Sorrentino. He's an Italian director, and he's previously done lots of arty films as well. He wrote the screenplay, and a lot of people have been saying some of the dialogue is clunky. I'd agree with that a little bit. Some of the dialogue is clunky.
How's it clunky?
There's a lot of bad language and very sort of blatant statements about how people feel. And
so rather than illustrating it, they're just saying, I'm angry.
Yeah, they just kind of just lay it all out. There's quite a lot of monologues that go on for rather too long, and it loses some of the impact because some of the phrasing just isn't what you would expect. But I think it's too simple to say that's because he's not, you know, English isn't his first language. Because, are you kidding? We just heard from Russ last week how collaborative the process is. That will have been proofread and edited.
You think somebody would
times.
Iron out some of the clunky bits?
Yeah, so I don't think that's the reason for it. I just think... Maybe the dialogue isn't perhaps the strongest suit of the film.
If he's directing it, though, he probably won't let anyone change it.
Well, there's always that possibility. But I went into it basically wanting not to like it.
Okay.
And especially early on, kind of for some of the reasons I've already mentioned, it's a lot of bad language. There's quite a lot of nudity. And you kind of think, do I want to sit here and listen to someone just moon on about life in quite a negative way? But actually, I couldn't not like it because it is absolutely beautiful and heartbreaking and heartwarming all at the same time.
Beautiful in terms of its ideas or how it's shown?
Everything.
Or...
like the shooting is amazing. The lighting is incredible. The colour and the contrast in all the frames and in every scene is just magnificent. And it makes you feel at peace with the world and like you're experiencing the full beauty of it. I thought it was really spectacular. Some of it reminded me of Wes Anderson in some places, just the way that he sets up the frames, but less sort of caricatured, okay. If I can say that.
Less quirky.
Yeah, perhaps a little bit less quirky. I thought Michael Caine showed again that he isn't just Michael Caine, that he's got a lot of depth to his performances. He was actually a culprit at bringing me to tears at one point, which I did not expect, Phil.
Wow.
I know, right? I didn't see this coming at all. Yeah, there was so much about it I loved. I thought Rachel Weisz, even though she had a speech I didn't like, she very nicely articulated frustration and longing, but also love and confusion. I think I'd say it's similar to Lost in Translation in the way that you watch it and it feels like a holiday.
Okay, just kind of let it wash over you.
Let it wash over you, and it basically forces you to ruminate and think about life and the universe and everything else. So I loved it.
Would you watch it again?
Yeah, I would watch it again. It is worth saying, there is quite a lot of nudity in it, but it's one of the few cases, and you know, I don't spend a lot of time ruminating on nudity film.
Okay.
It is one of the very few times where I've genuinely thought it made sense for it to be there, and in some ways it improved the film because it's set in a spa, so a lot of the nudity you see is like old men and, you know, older ladies.
So it's just kind of, it's there as part of the world.
That's right. And you can say, oh, it's just painting a realistic portrait, but actually it's more than that because you're not really used to seeing that in films. And what it does is it sort of forces you to step back and appreciate humanity in a slightly broader scope than usual. I mean, that sounds quite grandiose the way I described it, but genuinely, I thought almost everything about the film was brilliant. I could have done with maybe one or two of the nude scenes I could have done without, and some of the bad language I could have done without, because it slightly drew away from what I loved about it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. What would you give it as a grade?
The thing is, I'm going to have to give it a B+, man. I really enjoyed it.
Only a B+? After all that, like, oh, it's so beautiful. It's just washed over me like a holiday.
But it's
a B+.
But it's so specific about what it's trying to do that I don't think it ever breaks beyond a specific goal. So unless you want that, sitting and reflecting and thinking, you probably won't like it very much. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. So for what it's trying to achieve, it does it well.
Yeah, excellent.
But not as an overall film, it wasn't like the best thing you've ever seen.
No, but I did really enjoy it. And I think I'd recommend it to people, even if you think you won't enjoy it, give it a go.
Out of interest, what would you give Lost in Translation?
That's an A. Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Okay, good. I was starting to get really confused by your gradings.
Don't go there, Phil.
Interesting.
We're going to trip ourselves up one of these days. I think we already have started doing that. But yeah, I would say director Paolo Sorrentino is one to watch.
Okay, cool. I think I might check that out then.
Good, do. Oh, and also watch out for a stellar cameo from Jane Fonda. That she has got some serious stage presence and heft to everything she does, man. She's great.
Duly noted.
Yeah, quite right too. What now?
Have we got time to fit in a couple of what we've been watching this week?
You want to squeeze in some more of those? You see, I get nervous about this, listeners. Or sorry, I should be saying pixels. But I get a bit nervous about doing the same thing every time because, you know, we do emails on these fortnightly shows. And I think, Phil, you're campaigning to do what we've been watching every time. I like keeping an element of surprise in there.
You like to mix it up a bit. So
I love mixing it up. I'm a tinkerer.
I just think it'd be cool. I think people like hearing about movies we've been watching. It gives us a chance to talk about other stuff regularly.
Yeah. Well, hey, guys, tell us what you think. I mean, if you get bored by what we're just about to say, then tell us and I'll make sure we do some other stuff next time.
Or if you really enjoyed it and you really want to emphasize how much you enjoyed it, then please let us know as well. Because
these things always end up being Phil versus Laurie. Phil.
Yeah, I know.
Who do you like more?
Yeah, exactly. And you're the one with the control on the computer. So.
Yeah, quite right too. Okay, all right.
I need your help, listeners.
What have you been watching, Phil?
So I saw this film called Short Term 12. It's a film starring Brie Larson, slightly inspired by the fact that Jews went to see Room. She was in that one. She got a lot of attention.
Oh yeah, big time.
And then I was really bored one day and thought I'll look and see what's good on Netflix.
Yeah,
I even typed into Google
what's good on Netflix right now. It's really hard to navigate your way through all that stuff.
Sometimes you just don't really know what's there.
Too many options.
But anyway, this one consistently over a couple of different websites, people kept on saying this is one you need to see. It's a super powerful film. It's called Short Term 12. It's a 2013 American drama. Directed by Destin Daniel Cretton.
Wow, nice name.
Oh, maybe it's Cretton. I misread it.
Cretton. Keep going.
Destin Daniel Cretton directed it, and it's starring Brie Larson. I didn't like this film at all.
No, okay.
It's a bizarre film. It's Brie Larson plays kind of like a social worker, and Short Term 12 is basically where some kids from troubled homes go to stay when their parents have problems or whatever,
right,
or can't take care of them. And it's kind of about the three or four people who are employed to look out for them and watch over these kids as they sort of struggle with their difficulties.
Sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, so it's definitely a kind of solid sort of drama with lots of sort of dramatic conversations.
See, I just don't, I almost never go for those films because there's not many times in the day I think to myself, you know what? I really fancy feeling quite depressed and introspective over the course of 2 hours.
Well, so I didn't know anything about this film. I just saw it as constantly popping up on the top one.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll just give it a go. Brie Larson.
Did she do a good job, even if you didn't like the film?
Yeah, she does do a good job. I just think the story is so empty, really. It says it's dealing with these really big, dramatic sort of things, kids who are self-harming or drug abuse or whatever it is. And the film is basically about Brie Larson's character and her personal difficulties dealing with these children. And her own personal difficulties in
rather than
life.
About the kids themselves, you mean?
Yeah, and it sort of slightly touches on these kids' lives. I didn't really see it going anywhere. It didn't really land anywhere. And I felt like the revelations that were sort of given were quite obvious and easy to understand.
Yeah.
It just didn't work for me at all. And I was surprised that so many people seemed to love it and say it was a really powerful, affecting film. It was quite nicely shot, but ultimately I think it was a bit depressing and a bit
for people to talk about having seen than actually watch, you mean?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't say that nastily, but sometimes there are films like that aren't necessarily that enjoyable, but they do have a message behind them.
Yeah, and I think this is what that film was going for. It didn't really have much of a message, I think.
Okay.
If you've seen that film and you liked it, email in. I'd like to know what other people thought of that.
Quick grade?
Maybe a C+.
C+. Okay. I saw True Grit, the 2010 remake by the Coen brothers. That's right. I have previously seen the older version. I can't remember what year, but it had John Wayne and Glenn Campbell. I am a lineman for the county.
No, really?
Yeah, Glenn Campbell was acting in it. Love that song. That's such a great song, Wichita Lineman. Yeah, the new version, it was interesting. Matt Damon's in it, Jeff Bridges is in it, and I can't remember the name of the girl. I think
Amy Stanfield.
Is that her name? Something they may like have that. Even found her for this film specifically.
This is her first role, I remember.
Okay, yeah. Really amazingly interesting tale for a Western, quite an unusual take on it. You have this girl who's seeking for her father's killer, basically, and it's a long journey, lots of questions about the nature of revenge and morality, doing the right thing, and nice juxtaposition between this old and grizzled American lawman called Rooster Cogburn and this young girl. And then obviously, you know, Matt Damon turns up as well.
He's a sheriff, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's a Texas Ranger who was played by Glenn Campbell in the old one. And he sort of joins in for his own reasons. And it's a clever film. I don't know whether I preferred it to the original one. In some ways, the original had a bit more of Hollywood about it. They had a bit more flair, whereas the Coen brothers movie...
It minimises it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was consciously downplayed. I thought Jeff Bridges was really good. And I would say that Kurt Russell in Hateful Eight probably based his performance slightly on Jeff Bridges' gritty old lawman.
Yeah, I can see. I've seen this film as well. I really like this film. I haven't seen the original True Grit, but I thought this was great. I really like the script in it.
Yeah, it moves along very, very well. And it's based on a book. You know, they would claim that their adaptation is more faithful to the book than the John Wayne version.
Oh, right.
And there are some key differences in the way that the film ends. I remember that. Josh Brolin is really good in it as this guy Tom Chaney. I'm starting to really like Josh Brolin whenever he pops up.
It's funny enough, I saw him the other day and I thought exactly the opposite.
Oh no!
The more I've sort of seen of him, the more I thought he's just kind of playing himself, but in a gruff way. He's good at doing sort of gruff
old men.
I
quite like him. I think he brings a sort of slight weariness to everything that he does, and his eyes tell quite a good story. So yeah, I enjoyed the film. I possibly would just give it a B minus. No, just a B, actually.
I would give that an A minus.
The grittiness of Jeff Bridges is almost worth the whole film.
I think it's one of my preferred Coen Brothers movies. I'm not a super fan of the Coen Brothers.
Much less dark than their usual fare.
Yeah.
Although there is one scene. I think it's actually a PG-13. I checked the certification. I'm surprised about that.
Are you talking about the Domhnall Gleeson
scene? Domhnall Gleeson, poor bloke. Let's not
He's
get
having a rough
that.
Time, isn't he?
That scene was quite... It was a very good scene, but it's quite shocking. So, you know, if you flick it on and you've got kids around, like, you know, I wouldn't recommend they stay and watch that in scene.
Okay, yeah. Have you got another one?
Yes, I do, actually. And to be honest, this is your fault, really, Phil, because you did your whole sort of I went to watch a Korean film 2 weeks ago. And I thought, man, I'm going to have to catch up. So film four showed a Korean film called Like You Know It All recently, which I watched and didn't really enjoy, sorry to say. It's about a film director. He's judging a film festival and he kind of meets various people, old friends, old flames, and he debates, you know, why he does the films that he does. He's an art house director. He debates what the purpose of film is, what life is about, and why relationships are the way they are. You know, it's a quiet film, quite a long film, and you're more an observer. Interestingly, like you said about Memories of Murder, there is an awful lot of allowing the camera to linger for a long time and allow the people on the screen to interact and play their scene out.
Did you like that or no?
Yeah, that is enjoyable. It's certainly an unusually interesting thing to do, to see these conversations evolve in real time and let the actors' reactions dictate it. But for me, there's just a bit too much artistic navel gazing. I always am a bit skeptical when you've got a film that's about an art house movie director by an art house movie director, because it just becomes a little bit introspective and, dare I say, slightly self-reverential, something along those lines. The director was Hong Sang-soo.
Are you saying that right, Laurie?
Let's hope so. It's often talked about like it's a comedy. I didn't see that in it at all, but there are certainly some really bizarre and odd moments that are kind of jarring.
It's funny with foreign films, though, because when it comes to certain genres, there's a cultural sort of difference.
Yeah.
Some things which you just don't get at all, which are hilarious to the cultures that the film's made in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Okay, let's round out, because I know we're talking about a lot, but film that I really want to talk about, and I'm going to try and talk about it really quickly because the movie moves quite quickly as well.
Yeah.
It's Apocalypto.
Okay, the Mel Gibson film.
It's entirely spoken in Mayan, basically about a chase. Some Mayan villagers are captured. They're basically taken to be sacrificed in the kind of classic Mayan temple sort of sense. And then through various circumstances, you're following one of them as they run away from these hunting sort of pack.
Like through the jungle.
Through the jungle. It's a kind of similar sort of energy and pace as Mad Max, Fury Road, if you've seen that film. But what was really surprising about it was it's Mel Gibson directed this film, and it's a really well-made film. I don't think I've ever seen a film which is made for Western audiences, but in a completely foreign language.
It's an interesting directorial choice, yeah.
And with no white actors at all, which maybe seems a bit strange to say.
There was authenticity there because he used the right ethnicity.
Yeah, completely. And it was it's entirely trying to be accurate in terms of its portrayal of Mayan culture and things like that.
They're the mysterious ones, aren't they? Everyone thinks had links. Well, Indiana Jones thinks has links with the aliens and stuff.
Yeah, and like they predicted the end of the world in 2012.
All that sort of stuff,
The first half of the film is slower, and it takes a while for that kind of concept to set in, but the journey to that is really engaging. I was engaged, and it's one of those films which is hard to talk about exactly why it works.
I'm so glad you brought it up then,
but I think I'd be interested to know what other people thought of it.
Apocalypto,
because Mel Gibson's obviously got a bit of a reputation.
He's a controversial character and has not done himself many favors, it's fair to say.
Exactly, but he has made some very interesting films. He's only made a handful, but all of them have been interesting. And
was his Braveheart, Passion of the Christ, and Apocalypto.
Yeah, and quite varied in terms of tone and style and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's worth checking out. If you're watching on Netflix, make sure you turn the subtitles on. It's meant to have subtitles.
Do you think some people do it without that?
Well, I started doing it without subtitles.
But you thought you could decipher the mind yourself.
When's it going to turn up? Like, when are the words going to turn up?
Funny.
And I thought, maybe there aren't meant to be any words.
Uh-oh.
I think you could probably watch the movie without any words.
You think it communicates enough sort of physically and emotionally?
Yeah, you can see it from good storytelling, good direction.
Very good. Okay, give us a grade.
A minus.
Look, I think we should probably wrap it up there. What do you say?
Yeah, I think we need to.
Okay, well, hey, guys, thanks very much for tuning in to another email and currently what we've been watching special. We'll see if we can vary that going forward.
No. We're going to see what the listeners think.
All right, fine. Tell us your thoughts and we'll look forward to speaking to you again next week, where we're going to try and see Deadpool. We're going to try and see Zoolander. We're going to talk about Spotlight. We're going to try and talk about trailers. There's so much to do.
Not so much to do, Laurie. There's so much fun stuff to talk about.
Oh, so much fun to be had as well. Through your ears. Do tune in, get in touch, send us emails, tweets. We love all that.
Anything we've said today you want to respond to, we'd love to hear. We love having a bit of back chat from you guys.
Oh, he doesn't. Yeah. Mm. Great. Thanks, guys. See you again soon.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road. Searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire.
Well, that was a terrible idea.